I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
Springtime's the perfect time to turn the page and refresh your home style. The only problem? It can be expensive. Luckily, there's a better way to shop well-worthy pieces for less at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's negotiates with manufacturers to get you the best everyday low prices, giving the shopping power back to you. The power to get more style, comfort, and quality for less on amazing pieces like stylish mid-century dining sets made for hosting those big spring brunches, pop-up sleeper sectionals with all the bells and whistles so you can turn any room into a guest room, and next-level Bobopedic mattresses so you can get a great night's rest after you've finished redecorating every room. So, when you're ready to spring into new style, stop into your nearest store or shop online and see how you can get wow-worthy style for less with Bob's Discount Furniture.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
All right, we're back. Playtesting episode 328. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at Playtesting on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Gang's all here. Sammy, Pat, Gordo. And you guys thought we were done with Isak Paredes talk for the rest of it, at least until the deadline or something. I don't know, maybe forever. I don't know. I thought we were done with it. We're never done with it. We're never going to be done with Isak Paredes talk, so long as he still has 2 working legs, 2 working arms, 2 working eyes, and is playing Major League Baseball, we're never going to be done with him, ever.
I mean, as a Red Sox podcaster, it's great content, but I really want to just be done with Isak, mostly because I don't like that it's pronounced Isak. It makes the hairs on my arms stand up by not saying Isaac and saying Isak. It sounds wrong.
Isaac would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
It sounds like I'm trying too hard.
Happy Purim, Sammy.
Happy Purim, Gordo.
Is that what we say? Are we?
You're supposed to say Chag Purim Sameach, I think. I don't know, dude. I'm so bad.
What does that translate to?
Happy Purim. This is what like if you're not part of the Jewish community, half of every big holiday is just figuring out what we're supposed to do and say. Because it's mostly in Hebrew. And Gordo and I are just like, I don't know, I think we're supposed to get pastries. And then Pat just watches.
Oh, dude, I'm basically just watching too. Like, I didn't even know it was Purim until you said something.
Yeah, happy Purim.
Happy Purim, Pat.
Happy Purim, boys. we're getting, like, I feel like, and tell me if you guys agree or not, there's always, like, one player who, like, throughout, I'm not saying Isak Paredes is this, but there's always, like, one guy in one league that's, like, always in trade rumors, or, like, one of the Boston teams has, like, for a long time, it was Larry Fitz and the Cardinals. Like, every year, Gordo.
Miles Turner,
perfect example. Miles Turner, forever. It was like, oh, Celtics, maybe. Oh, they could have. Larry Fitzgerald was one forever. We're now getting there with, like, Joe Ryan and Isak Paredes. Like, these guys, as long, until they are moved, they will just eternally be linked to the Red Sox.
Who are some of the guys? Because I remember when they got Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks was one of those guys where it's like, oh, the Red Sox really liked him. They didn't get him. Wouldn't you have it? The Red Sox end up getting their guy at some point down the line. And when they got Jordan Hicks, I thought to myself, wow, like, this happens a fair amount with the Red Sox, doesn't it? Where they miss out on the guy, but then he eventually finds his way there. And on the top of my head, I can't think of who else with the Red Sox made me think of that.
Right now?
Like, recently, in the Breslow era, or Heim era, or...
Well, I'm trying to think, because there was a couple of guys they lost out on who we haven't had. Like, Eflin was one. Eflin was a big one. Mm. They lost out on him. He's obviously not with the Sox. Was it not Sonny Gray years ago?
Oh, that's not a bad one, yeah.
They did. It's a little bit longer, because it was multiple regimes ago. But true. It does count. Yeah. It does count. I mean, technically they drafted Bregman.
Joe says in the chat, Joe Ryan now, ? We have to see if this continues. If this continues at the deadline, then yes. Otherwise, they haven't been into him for long enough.
Yeah.
Well, they have There's to get him. Like, what I'm saying is, like, they actually have a history of getting guys that they missed out on.
Oh, like, they seal the deal, you're saying? Okay.
Eventually. It's like they miss the guy and it's like, okay, three
for
years
like
later,
a year or two.
He's not as good anymore, but the Red Sox are going to bring him in and hope that they can figure him out. I'm trying to think.
Are you saying that Isak Paredes is the next version of this player?
Yeah, I think he could be. And it's crazy. I feel like this needs to be going on for... If they got him this offseason, he wouldn't count as that.
No, because they haven't been flirting for long. How about Alex Bregman last year? Did that count? Because that was like back and forth for months, hearing that it's going to happen, then it's not going to happen, and then it does, not long enough?
No, because they didn't miss him. Like, he didn't go somewhere else.
Okay, then, so you've got to miss
and then later
stay
get
in touch.
Him.
Okay.
Why can I not remember who else fits this mold? This is going to kill me.
I feel like it's usually pitchers.
Has to be.
Like, Paxton was kind of one.
I was like, oh, does Paxton count? But they never missed on
him. Oh! Technically speaking, Corey Kluber.
Oh, great one. They missed on Kluber like four times.
Yeah.
Kluber, I wish they missed on him a fifth time.
Kenley's not one. Chris Martin's not one. Chapman's not one.
Kluber's a prime example because he went to the Rays, he went to the Yankees, and then he like wound up with the Sox, unfortunately.
Oh, you know who would be one if they got him? And there's no indications that Teoscar Hernandez, if they got him. Like, that's a guy who we have flirted with multiple times. And if ever eventually comes to the Red Sox, there you go.
I thought you were going to say Nolan Arenado. I was about to cut you off and be like, don't. Nope.
Well, that would count too. That would count.
Ugh. Hey, he's in the WBC showing up looking like he's like a backup singer for Linkin Park. Weird Dude, fit.
The bleach hair, it makes him look like he's washed.
And bleached hair and the 2002 style, like, oversized t-shirt.
Yeah.
Bizarre look. I'm not in a bad way. Kind of a throwback look, if you will, for us 90s and early 2000s guys.
Here's a weird thing I do. You guys can tell me if you do this. When athletes, any sport, when they're in their prime, whatever they look like in their prime, that, like, to me, that's how they're supposed to look. And if they, like, change their hair or something, change their facial hair, anything like that, then I'm always sitting there waiting for them to go back to how it looked when they're in their prime. And I think it'll make them better. Like, an example of this is Dwight Howard. He had the short hair when he was on the Orlando Magic, and he was great. And then as soon as he left the Magic, he grew his hair longer and he instantly got bad and never changed it back. I've been waiting ever since he left the Magic for him to change it back. Even in his retired Dwight Howard era, he hasn't changed it back. And that's going to be Nolan Arenado for me for now.
You might have a concussion. You might have celebrated Purim too hard.
Oh, yeah.
Hag Sameach. No, Hag Purim Sameach. Fuck, God, I'm so bad at this.
I got to think of other ones.
Guys who looked one way and then they... Hanley Ramirez.
Oh, that's a great one.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Short hair Hanley was so much better.
His skinny, too. Skinny Hanley was better.
Hanley Ramirez in his prime was, like, amazing.
Yeah, like top, what, 5 player in the league at the time?
Oh, yeah. Big leg kick, but it didn't matter. His timing was great. How did we get onto this? How did we get onto this topic?
We were talking about guys who the Sox missed out on and got back. And if they ever get Seth Lugo, that's another one.
Seth Lugo is going to be throwing like 79-mile-an-hour fastballs by the time the Red Sox get him. Kluber 2.
It's gonna kill me. We're going to get off the show, and then I'm going to think of like 4 of these guys that they got. And it's gonna.
Someone is listening right now, screaming at us,
screaming
through the void for forgetting someone.
I'm pulling up former like free agents, and no luck so far. But I'll keep the boys updated.
The way I feel about it is, in my head, it's like they missed the guy in free agency. He signed somewhere, and then gets traded to it. Literally, the Jordan Hicks experience. I swear, maybe I'm wrong. Like
you guys are gonna make fun of me because it's gonna make me sound really old. I think the Red Sox tried to get Cliff Floyd a few times before they ended up landing him. And yeah, I remember Cliff Floyd. He would shake his butt before the pitch came in. I thought it was funny when I was a little kid. So I do remember Cliff Floyd. I'm not that old, but I think that might be an example if my memory is serving me correctly.
I only knew Cliff Floyd from Backyard Baseball 2003. He was with the Marlins, and I remember being floored when I learned that he at one point played for the Red Sox.
What? He played for the Red Sox after that, right? Yeah, 2000. No. You got the wrong Backyard Baseball. Because he was on...
No way.
No, wait, you might be right, because he went to Montreal in 2002, and then the Red Sox that same year... So, yeah, I don't know. But I do remember him being in Backyard Baseball. But he went to the Red Sox after the Marlins.
That can't be right. Or maybe they made the Backyard Baseball early. Maybe it was a Backyard Baseball made in 2002 or something. When did he play for the Marlins? And then we'll get back on track.
97 to 2001. Sorry, to 2002. And he got traded midway through the season.
Okay.
So he got double traded. He got traded to the Expos and then to the Red Sox.
Wow. Just like Adam LaRoche.
It's true. What a guy.
I'll never forget that. That blew my mind when it happened.
And that's why I think the Paredes deal is actually going to happen this time.
Yeah, except it has to wait. Like at least until the trade deadline. Like you have to make it through one trade season or free agency without it happening.
Okay, but jokes aside, the fact that this rumor is actually coming back, and we're not even joking, this is a legit March 3rd, as we record, baseball rumor. A big trade, not a blockbuster, but a big trade if Isak Paredes is moved. I don't really get, with Caleb Durbin in the mix, like how would this work other than Marcelo would have to get sent down?
Well, that was, and I can read the report, or it's not a report, like that's... So yesterday, as we record, so 2 days before, if you're listening, on drop day, Rosenthal answered a question on his podcast about Isak Paredes. And he said, hey, like, by the way, I've got a whole opinion piece dropping on this tomorrow. And he made like a whole point of making sure everyone knew, like, this is an opinion. It's all opinion. It's all opinion. But here is what he said in his opinionated piece. And you can judge. Because whenever Ken Rosenthal speaks, like it always comes from something. Like he's not just whooping up ideas on his own. We were texting in the group chat today. I said it was like when he wrote that opinion piece about how the Red Sox should sign Alex Bregman, move Rafael Devers to first base, and trade Tristan Casas. And then they spent the entire next offseason trying to sign Alex Bregman and then trade Tristan Casas. But I digress. Here's the report, and it's separated a couple things. So the first part, he said, the necessary move is to trade third baseman Isak Paredes for a left-handed hitting outfielder, an idea the Astros have discussed most thoroughly with the Boston Red Sox, according to people briefed on the discussions. Talks stalled, however, and the clubs have not been in recent contact. And then later in the article, he said, the Red Sox, even after acquiring Caleb Durbin from Milwaukee, still look like the best fit for Paredes. They could play him at third and Durbin at second without needing to rely on Marcelo Meyer. The Astros are not getting back Willy Abreu, whom they traded in 2022 for catcher Christian Vasquez. A deal constructed around Jarren Duran should remain within reach. By moving Duran, the Red Sox would create DH at-bats for Masataka Yoshida and eventually Tristan Casas, who could return in May from a ruptured patellar tendon in his left knee. The problem is that the Red Sox's trade for Durbin improved their negotiating position while weakening the Astros. Brown then might need to get creative, possibly involving a third team, possibly pivoting from the Red Sox entirely. So that was everything that Rosenthal said. There was the Red Sox stats tweet that said, like, hey, by the way, like, this could be legit. And, like, apparently, according to him, there have been, like, whispers behind the scenes about this for the last few days. And that's probably what led to Rosenthal writing the piece. So even though it's an opinionated piece and he's framing it like that, like, again, these things don't come from nowhere.
Yep. I agree. I don't think that people should just overlook that. A lot of the times people don't like a rumor, so they overlook it. But I think this is legit, might have legs. A lot of moving parts going on here. I'm kind of in the middle on how I'd feel. A lot depends on if a third team is involved, because I think Duran for Paredes makes no sense. Duran is just way more valuable than Paredes. Even if Paredes is a little bit of a better fit, you could argue, with the Red Sox, I don't think that means you take 30 cents on the dollar or whatever it is. So unfortunately for the Astros, and maybe for the Red Sox, their farm is barren. I think they're the only team without a top 100 prospect. Either way, it's not a good farm system. So I don't know what they could add that would make it equal in a Duran for Paredes kind of formula. I think a third team would almost have to be involved, or this is the Yoshida dump, which I would not like.
We can rule that out. I don't know why that's going around Twitter right now. The Astros in no way, shape, or form would take Yoshida. First of all, they're trying to stay under the tax. Second of all, they have Yordan Alvarez as a DH. Yep. Like, we can put that to bed. It's not happening.
I agree. It's super unlikely. It's just you have to touch on it. Everyone's going to mention Yoshida because of the money and but Pat?
Unless there's a third team.
Yeah.
Unless there's a third team. And maybe that's where you can facilitate maybe getting Yoshida off. Because for me, I don't know where you guys stand on this. Paredes makes no sense unless he's the DH. That's just where I'm at. Because I think Marcelo's too good defensively and has way too high an upside to rot in AAA for another year. Which I say rot loosely because, I mean, he is still young. He has been healthy. He can always improve. But I feel like he's shown that he can hang in the majors, especially defensively. Durbin is a far better third baseman than a second baseman. If you're trading for Paredes, it's for DH. And if it's for DH, you can't have Massa.
Can I give you guys my take there? Because
go for it.
If it's for DH, essentially you're keeping the nine on the field the same. And as the team on the field is presented, you're essentially swapping Duran for Paredes, which to me doesn't improve your team.
No.
So the only way this even possibly works, and this isn't me even saying I would do this, but the only way it possibly works is, and let's say, like, it involves Duran going back, Paredes is your third baseman, Yoshida DHs, eventually hands the reins to Casas, Durbin is your second baseman, Story's your shortstop, and then one injury to anybody that either plays first, second, third, short, DH, you can bring Meyer up. Like, I just, that's the only way it makes sense to me, because instead of swapping Duran for Paredes, you're swapping Duran and Meyer for Paredes and Yoshida, which you could argue, and I would argue, makes you a slightly better offensive team. I don't know if it makes the team better, and it certainly puts a – Sammy?
It could also be Casas in that Yoshida spot.
Yeah, exactly. But then you have to ask yourself, if it improves the team a little bit offensively, is it worth putting that much of a roadblock for Marcelo Meyer to get at bats, not just next year, but for the year after? Like, because Paredes has 2 years. Durbin has the full slate of six. Story has 2 years. So to me, unless you sit down and say, we are going to trade Trevor Story next year and open up shortstop for Meyer, like, I don't even know how you can do it. You made your bet with Durbin. You made that trade. That's your guy.
Gordo, I don't hate the scenario that you laid out where it's Paredes at, what, third, probably. Durbin moves to second, and then you have Yoshida and or Casas at DH. I think that actually makes the offense quite a bit better, just because I don't think Meyer's ready to face left-handed big league pitching, at least. And against righties, he's like good but not great at this point. But the problem with it is the Red Sox have to be getting fair value for Jarren Duran. I would be ripped shit if they gave him up for anything less than what he's worth at this point in the offseason. Like right now in my head, he is going to be the DH and part-time left fielder hitting third. You swap him out with Paredes, I think the offenses are similar enough. But Duran is so much more valuable overall because he can play different spots and he's like a average defender, where I would say Paredes is a little bit below average. Duran can also play a premium spot in center field if you need him to. Some people believe he's even better in center field. So there's a lot to like about Duran, and I'm not saying that Paredes is not a great player. Gordo?
Also, the value on the base paths also has an extra year of control.
Yep. So that's why I can't see this happening without a third team involved. And the one thing I keep seeing is people saying, okay, you move Duran for Paredes. If Houston throws in a relief pitcher, then I'll do it. Like that, I hate that. I absolutely hate that with how volatile relievers are. And that's the most popular kind of formula that I've been seeing on social media from Red Sox fans. Like King, Pat, you like John King, I think his name
Brian
is.
King. Whatever. Brian King.
What
Who's
is it?
John King?
Brian King.
Okay, Rangers is John, or Cardinals or something. King, good relief pitcher, but like that is not how you tip the scale for a trade of this magnitude. It's too, because he could fall off a cliff and nobody would be shocked if a relief pitcher that volatile just falls off a cliff. Who is it, Gordo?
He's like the CNN guy who points to like, oh, this state's going red, this state's going white, like, or this state's going blue. I mean,
isn't he from Massachusetts? No, he's Gordo. John King is a pitcher on the Cardinals.
Oh, he's that. Oh, you're right. John King, MLB. Yeah,
he got moved. He's on the Marlins now.
He's
but
both.
He was.
It's both.
Yeah, yeah.
Pat,
do you think, go back to, we'll say December, do you think that if the Sox knew that they were getting Caleb Durbin, they would have been willing to part with Marcelo for Ketel Marte?
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business, to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Good question.
I lean no, but that's
I agree. But it's interesting to know like where we're at now, and how Paredes fits versus how like Ketel Marte would fit.
That's the whole Ketel Marte thing is why this whole thing doesn't make sense. And it's there were people saying something similar before, and I kind of scoffed at it. Like, oh, there were people arguing that Sadon is going to play second base and Marcelo is going to get optioned. And if you option Marcelo to start the year, it shows that you don't believe in him at all. And it's like, why would you not trade him for Marte? And I was arguing, well, if they option him for a month or two to start the year to get some seasoning, that doesn't mean they don't believe in the guy.
Why would you not punt on his whole career?
Right.
If you don't want, like, that's so dumb.
That said, if you're bringing in Isak Paredes and are effectively blocking Marcelo Meyer at all three positions for multiple years, now I'm like, okay, if you're going to do that, then why are you not trading the guy for the best second baseman in baseball?
Mm-hmm. You guys think there's any chance at all that Caleb Dervin gets moved?
call me crazy. I would much rather move Caleb Dervin than option Marcelo.
Ooh,
move that's too versus, much. No, I mean, that's
too
crazy.
Many moving parts for okay. me to give a
well,
response.
The thing
you'd
is,
rather I move Caleb Dervin than just have Marcelo be in AAA?
Yes and no. Like if you told me he's going to be up in like a couple of months and he's going to get going then, and maybe I'm going too far there. But the whole IKF thing is what complicates this, because in another sense I could just say, okay, like Marcelo and Romy is your platoon second baseman and Caleb Dervin can be a utility player, and he would be a really, really high level utility player, but he can't be the utility player because you paid $6 million for one.
Mm-hmm.
He could be it next year, I guess.
Okay. So let's
have a really good year, and then he's too good to be that.
Okay, so let's simplify. What scenario, I'll go first, would we be okay with in a Duran for Paredes framework trade? I think the only scenario I'd be okay with is if a third team is involved, because I'm looking up and down the Astros roster, looking up and down the Astros roster and farm, there's nothing they can add on to Paredes that realistically both sides would like. So there has to be a third team involved if this even happens.
Okay, let me give you the full scenario. It's like a really complicated scenario in which I would actually be okay with it, because it involves the trade itself, the plan for the present, and the plan for the future. So I do think that there is a path to a deal with just the two teams. Duran for Paredes, Xavier Nyans, and Brian King gets me there enough. That's the trade. You option Marcelo. He starts in AAA. The plan is, if anyone gets hurt and goes on the IL, the plan is to call Meyer up and not insert IKF into the starting lineup. The plan is, that's when you go to Meyer. And the plan is, next year, we are going to open up shortstop for him. And he's going to play shortstop in the minor leagues. We're done with this whole third and no, we're going to prepare him to be the shortstop of the Boston Red Sox. He can come up in a pinch this year if needed. And if he takes off, he takes off. But the plan is, Marcelo Meyer is going to be the starting shortstop in 2027. If you tell me all that, I'm in. If not, like, it doesn't move me enough to trade Duran.
I just feel like that's not a great deal for the Red Sox. But then again, maybe Duran's value is league-wide not as high as people think. That's what I was saying at the beginning of the offseason. I kind of came off of it. Shame on me. But like in my head, Gordo, that is just Duran and Paredes and a prospect for Duran. The relief pitcher, great, does nothing for me big picture. Like, that's, you could sign Danny Coulomb and get similar production. I don't want to have that guy tip the scale in any way in the trade. So the way I'm viewing that is 2-for-1, Paredes and Nyans for Duran. And I just don't, I don't know if I could sign off on that.
Pat, what's the scenario for you? Is there a scenario where the Red Sox could make a trade for Paredes with Duran and you would say, okay, I could get behind that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty much along the lines of what you said. I think it's Paredes, King, prospect. My condition is it has to be Paredes playing DH. He's far too injury prone to take the gamble of moving Duran, optioning Meyer. Like, that's a lot of moving pieces for what should be a kind of simple move here. For me, it is that package of Paredes, King, plus for Duran. You somehow, whether it is attach a mid-level prospect or eat the money, move Yoshida, Paredes slides into DH to stay ideally healthy for an entire season. And then at that point, you have Durbin at third, Meyer at short, Story at short, and then you have Paredes DHing. I think that fills out the lineup. You get a little bit of pop. If one of the outfielders goes down, it gets a little hairy, but you do still have Eaton. You have Campbell in AAA. You have pieces that you can kind of plug and play. But for me, if it's Paredes, it has to be for DH.
So Pat, in your scenario here, they are trading Duran and Yoshida somehow, I assume?
Whether it be a three-team, a separate deal, but that has to be like the dominoes of moves for me to be okay with this.
Can I push back on one thing? Because you reference Paredes' potential for injury, and I think that's fair. He's been injury prone in his career. I would argue, though, that the Red Sox with Meyer and AAA, and obviously with Costas and Campbell behind Yoshida, and you could say the same on the pitch. Obviously, it's even more so on the pitching end, but they are maybe one of the top few most well set up teams for injury of anyone in the league. Basically, everywhere besides catcher, they have plan B, C, D. What? Sam, you're muted.
Everywhere besides catcher. Relax, buddy. It's Jason DeLay.
Yeah, so everywhere besides catcher, they are set like in the outfield right now. If an outfielder goes down, you put Duran in the outfield, Yoshida's your DH. If an infielder goes down, then you've got IKF ready to go. And in this case, if an infielder went down, you'd have Marcelo ready to go. If first base goes down, you've got Costas ready to go. You've got Campbell ready to go in whatever spot you think he can play, most likely outfield. But like, they've got backups all over the place.
Monasterio.
Romy Gonzalez, when he gets healthy. Pitching, we don't need to go over it again. Like, they have depth galore. So to the original point, yes, he's injury prone, but I'm willing to put that to the test because of the depth that they would have in this scenario.
I'm genuinely trying to be open-minded about the Yoshida portion in a three-team trade. I don't think I could do it. The amount of value that he takes away from whatever the Red Sox are sending out is like, it's almost crippling in any deal. Like, how could you? I get what you're saying, Pat, and Gordo, I think you followed it up well. I don't know if I could make myself be okay with any Yoshida scenario. Just DFA the guy if you want him gone so bad.
Can I give you guys another scenario that's not on the table that we know of, but I thought of it today. I was like, oh man, now we'd be looking at the offense. Is if the scenario instead of Duran was Rafaela and it was Rafaela traded and Marcelo sent down, and you now insert Yoshida into the DH spot and Paredes, and so Duran goes in the outfield and then Paredes plays third. So out of the lineup goes Meyer and Rafaela, into the lineup goes Paredes and Yoshida. Now we can talk offense.
Yeah. Nah. I don't think Paredes is that good, or I'd be willing to punt on cost-controlled long-term Sedan Rafaela. That's a tough one. I'm a huge Rafaela believer. Like, I think he could be a again, I've said this a million times, like 2020 average to slightly above average bat and the best defensive center fielder in the American League. Like, I don't want to move that guy. I'm in no rush. Yes.
To at the risk of going down a potential rabbit hole here, and I know he hasn't looked great in the first whatever week of spring training that we've seen, but it's spring training, and by all accounts, he has looked good behind the scenes from reports. Talking about Christian Campbell here. Let's say he breaks back out and he looks like the Christian Campbell that the Red Sox extended, but the only place that you can trust him defensively is the outfield.
When is he breaking out?
Like this year. So let's say going into next year, you now have five outfielders for three spots. If Christian Campbell has broken back out and is the guy that we thought he was in April of last year, like you talk about Sadon Rafael and you want to ride and you want to believe in Sadon. Who are your three outfielders? Like, who are you trading?
I'm keeping Willier. I think the three guys I have now, I wouldn't touch it. Sadon's like plus, plus, plus defense. Willier is a plus bat with plus defense. Roman's a plus, 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 plus bat with good defense. Like, I love Christian Campbell, but like, I'm not moving any of those three. Why? That's the best out. You could argue that's the best outfield in Major League Baseball. If all those guys play like we think they will, it's up there. I would just put Campbell at DH or something. Or hey, how about try him at second?
I'm always down for that. I would put him at DH.
I would move. Who are the other outfielders? I would put Campbell at DH because I think he just needs to hit. I don't know if he's going to be a great defender anywhere. And then you move Duran, move whoever the other guys are that you mentioned.
It was just those five. It was the three that they got right now, Duran and Campbell.
Yeah, so then you also factor in team control. Duran will have less team control. And then Yoshida, don't even get me started. So,
see, because that's the thing, is that's why I'm not super against, and like there's been little talk of this, so don't listen to this and think that this is coming from anywhere, but like that's why I'm not super against trading Rafaela, because you can trade Duran right now, but we're going to be faced with the same issue a year from now. Going into next season, if Christian Campbell breaks back out, and it seems like the Red Sox expect that to happen,
what if he doesn't? Okay,
yeah, maybe he doesn't. But
now you move Rafaela, and you have a worse defensive outfield, and Duran is less control.
I also think it depends on like what they're being moved for. Yeah. Like who's the most movable? Like is a whole different conversation. But like, because I think the obvious ones in that scenario, I mean, Duran is obvious. And then you can kind of debate Sadon, Campbell, whatever else. But if so, like, let's say we fast forward a year from now, Sonny Gray is a free agent, he's off the team, you need a pitcher. And whoever comes available.
Joe Ryan.
No, like someone a little bit more controllable. But if someone a little bit more controllable becomes available, then yeah, maybe I'm willing to talk Willier. Would I love moving Willier? No. But if it's for like a stud pitcher, then yeah, of course I would. So I think you could rationalize trading any of them except Roman. How would you rank? Well, let's do this. How would you rank those five in terms of like how much you'd be willing to trade them?
Oh, easy. Okay, Roman off limits. Willier nearly off limits. It would have to be something insane. Rafaela, Duran, huge gap, Yoshida. And then if you want to include Campbell, I'd put him.
Got to include Campbell.
Okay. Roman, Abreu, Rafaela. Oh man, okay. Now it's hard. Hold on. Let me ponder on this. I wouldn't move Campbell right now. You'd be selling low on him and you just extended him. It's not because he's better than Duran. It's just a bad business to move a guy you just extended who then played poorly. So I'll put him fourth and then fifth Duran. And then the huge gap. Then Yoshida.
Pat, when you ask the question, are you talking about who do you least want to part with because you're trying to build your best outfield? Or are you saying, because like, am I supposed to consider what I'm getting back for these guys is what I'm.
No, I think just say like this year goes according to plan for all of these guys. Like Campbell lives up to his prospect status. We'll call him like basically like what Willier was this past year, minus the defense, like offensively, like a 260, 20-ish home run hitter. At that point, how would you rank those guys?
If Campbell does that, then to me, it's Roman, obviously, far and away number one. Campbell would be number two. Willier, number three. and then a pretty sizable gap, Rafael of 4, barely below him, Duran 5.
I think I'm close to you. I would go, we're all in agreement, Roman, obviously. Number 2, I would actually probably go Willier. I could be talked into moving him, but like it's few and far between in terms of guys who I would actually move him for. I'd go Willier. I'd go Campbell. Little bit of a gap. Rafaela. Pretty big gap, Duran.
Here's the thing. Go ahead.
If Christian Campbell has the year that Willier had last year, we're going to be looking at this contract that they've got him signed to, where he's locked up after this year. They're going to have 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and then club options for 33 and 34. Like, if Christian Campbell is a dude, that is a valuable contract. And Willier after this year is going to have 3 years, which is still a lot. But, like, how many years did I just hit? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guaranteed plus 2 more is 9. Like, if he's good, like, that is value right there.
Yeah, that's a steal. I don't know. I think I'd need – hard for me to envision that. Even if you do give – and I'll read the numbers off. If you give Campbell the hypothetical 22 home runs, 786 OPS, 116 OPS plus season, the same offensive numbers that Willier just had, the contract makes him more valuable, but I feel like Willier is just a way better player. He's just a way better player. If the bats are close to equal – and you get one guy giving you plus defense in the most difficult right field on the planet, and the other guy is probably either left field or DH. It's a tough conversation, man. I mean, it's good. It's better than not having enough guys.
But the value.
It's 9 years versus 3, though.
No, that's why you would have to put Campbell above him. But
that's the thing, though. Like basically the whole essence of this, the reason I opened this can of worms and I knew it was going to take us down a rabbit hole, I didn't care.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's good podcasting, baby.
The reason I did it was because it sounds crazy to trade Rafaela right now, but there's a good chance where next year we're going to be sitting there basically saying, man, they might have to.
So then we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Which is a fair point of view. It's a very fair point of view.
Yeah, I can't. I'm trying to think, like, if they move Rafaela and the Duran's your center fielder. Do we really feel good about Duran being in center field for a full season? I know he had that uptick in defense, but that was a small-ish sample, and we've seen him play poorly defensively in center field before. And I know, like I said earlier on this episode, it's a popular talking point. Like, Duran's actually a better center fielder than left fielder. I don't think that makes sense. I don't think that someone's just better at center field than a much easier position in left field, especially at Fenway. Once you get the hang of that, like we've spoken, Manny Ramirez played a good left field at Fenway. I know it's a wonky, weird situation, but at this point, Duran's played there a lot. I have a hard time believing he'd magically be much better in center field. I don't know if I could do that for a full season if he's not hitting like 2024 Duran. Pat?
Let's say they believe what me and Gordo believe. Let's say in this hypothetical world, they trade Rafael or they trade Duran. Who would play center?
Wait, they trade both? It would be Roman playing center.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like that's Sammy. You talk about do you trust Duran in center for a full year? And he's talked about how much more comfortable he feels in center field than left field. So I do think that there's something to it. But if you look at the metrics from 24, I don't think you can expect anything close to that. Even if he's fully in center field.
Yeah.
But in the future, like Christian Campbell, someone that they think could be a fine center fielder, and they believe at least in the short term in Roman in center field. I don't know if Roman's a long-term center fielder.
Probably
You would have to have some semblance of belief long-term, I think, in Campbell as a center fielder.
You're also flying around in center field. I don't know if I want your number one hitter there if he's not built for it.
So what happened to Trout?
You saying Roman's not built for the bright lights, Sammy?
For center field, probably not.
Oh, the offense I'm taking.
Hey, he's going to be a great corner outfielder.
He's great corner outfielder.
No, he's built for hitting nukes like he did today against the San Francisco Giants. Take that. I don't want to move Rafaela. It would have to be, here's my least favorite term, an overpay. So an overpay.
I can't believe you just said that.
I know, it's a dirty word. Pat looks shocked.
Oh my god, he looks like a shocked dog.
Pat, are you frozen or are you just making that face? Oh my God, he wasn't frozen.
No, no, wasn't frozen.
I thought he might be frozen too. So in synopsis, how into the Esoc Paredes thing are you guys?
Not very.
Not very at this point.
Esoc. I hate saying that. I hate. By the way, I know a guy from the same spelling name from Mexico. Goes by Isaac. So, food for thought.
Nice.
With him. Nice guy. Hope he's doing well. If you're listening, Isaac, shoot me a text. It's been a while.
Yeah, even as an Esoc Paredes guy, I have a hard time seeing the Red Sox do this in the way that would be good for the team. Like, there's just so many different things that could go to shit by making a move like this. I just can't. I don't know. I could get there if they said all the right things, but I don't think they will. Sammy,
toxic positivity spin zone for the second episode in a row. What if? The Astros have a logjam, like much worse than the Red Sox. Like, they have nowhere to put their guys because they actually have a really good DH, Yordan Alvarez, occupying that spot. None of their infielders really play outfield, and they have, I think, five different infielders, and a lot of them are already locked up. So they actually have a legit, true, bad logjam where they're not going to have enough play time. Maybe they get really desperate to move Paredes for something, just so they can get something in return. Red Sox get him at a very low price. Maybe.
But what is that though? Like, you can't get Esoc Paredes without clearing the outfield logjam. They just don't have enough roster spots to do this.
Maybe it is. Let me ponder this.
Like, maybe think about it. Like, how could you get Esoc Paredes at a low ball price, but be able to fit him on the roster?
You'd still be optioning Marcelo.
What if they're like, yeah, that's fine. If the trade is really good, and you're like, if you somehow keep Duran and get Esoc Paredes, and then you move Durbin to second, Paredes at third, your defense is not as good as it was going to be, but who cares? You're about to be thumping the ball and your pitching is amazing. Sure. Oh. I'm trying to think like what it could be. It could be like,
well, maybe the low ball is the deal with Yoshida.
I was going to say Yoshida.
It's not going to be a three-teamer because they're not taking him.
How much space do they have? Do we know?
They were like right up against it, and then they traded Jesus Sanchez.
Isn't it seven?
It's got to be.
Ooh, Gordo with the very well-timed mute as he sneezes. That's a good sign.
Dude, I felt it coming on. I was in the middle of saying something. I was like, oh, I better get this last word out now.
That was good. Well, okay, what if it's the Red Sox pay 11 and a half? So that's because I believe Houston has $7 million until they're at the tier they're trying to avoid. So Red Sox pay 11.5 of the 18.5. So the Astros aren't going over. And then they throw in Justin Gonzalez, a very good but not great prospect who has some hype right now. And then you give him like a low tier prospect as well.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah. I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero-sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine and 17 flavors. 17! So, if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
Springtime is almost here, and if you've been itching to redo every room in your home, Bob's Discount Furniture can help. When you shop at Bob's, you get wow-worthy everyday low prices on fabulous furniture for every room. Everything from stylish mid-century dining sets and top-rated Bob-O-Pedic mattresses with the best warranties in the business to pop-up sleeper sectionals, all for a fraction of what they cost elsewhere. So, stop in or shop online and get wow-worthy pieces for less. Only at Bob's.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North convenience stores and true rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. Ever order furniture online and wonder, what if? Like, what if it doesn't fit?
Little to the left. Oh, wait!
Yep, should have gone with Wayfair. Or what if it doesn't hold up?
That sofa was 4 days old.
Should have ordered from Wayfair. Or what if it's that material that makes that noise?
It was a sofa, I swear.
With Wayfair, there's no what if. Just style you love, quality you can trust, and furniture that actually fits your life. Visit Wayfair.com or download the Wayfair app.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You doing that? I don't think the Astros would, but would you?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like I would do it, but you now have so many log jams, it's insane. Like, you have the outfield logjam, now you've got an infield logjam, they've got a starting pitching logjam.
Then you flip Meyer at the deadline for an ace, and then you have the best rotation in baseball, and you win like 96 games, and you face the Dodgers in the World Series. Let's go! Woo!
Would you guys rather trade for Paredes right now, or take the gamble, hope everyone who's on the roster plays well, and then try and trade Duran at the deadline? Because I lean more so keep the team till the deadline and then just sell high on whoever's hot.
That's where I'm at too, because you also could have injuries and know exactly where you need to fill a spot.
Yeah.
Whereas right now it's like you're basically giving yourself extra infield insurance. Whereas if you wait till the deadline, it's like, okay, our shortstop got hurt, so we're going to put Meyer at short. That means third base is open, like a second base. Ah, it's so complicated. I guess really they have so much roster flexibility that any spot that goes down, they do have a maneuverability to fill the gaps. But I still would rather wait. Like, there's no need to rush it.
The problem with waiting is you'd be waiting and then you have to put your faith in Craig Breslow at the deadline.
Ugh. They're probably going to trade Paredes before the season. Like, you guys see Carlos Correa's quotes where he's like, listen, guys, I can count. And like, we got five guys and we got four spots. Like, figure it out.
Carlos Correa wants Paredes to get the fuck off his team.
I mean, there's always a spot for a guy who can DH. But like, realistically, right now, out there in the league, what team, after all the moves that have been made, could you actually see paying the price that it would conceivably take to get Paredes? I don't think there's many.
Pirates.
That's where my head was going too. But to me, like, he's a good enough. I'd have to go look at rosters and see. Okay, this team has a mediocre third baseman. They could.
Here's one. Here's an interesting one. If the price does come down and the Astros get desperate, I could see the Rays trading back for Paredes.
You know, it would be a fun one on the Pirates end. Can you imagine just a straight up a 1-for-1 Jared Jones for Isak Paredes?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know if the Astros would want to do that. Jones and his new elbow. Ooh,
Jones is coming back. I think he's coming back May or June. Like, he's not far out.
I saw that he was put on the 60-day, and they think he's going to be able to like pitch right after the 60-day expires.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe, that'd be a fun deadline one. That's a fun deadline.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
I want to take us to NuffSaid because my NuffSaid is going to open a whole new can of worms. So. The Jerkson Profar thing, oh my God. Tested positive. They actually just, I think John Heyman just tweeted what it was. If one of you guys wants to find that for me, what he just tested positive for. But this is now his second steroid suspension in 2 years. He is facing, Sammy, you got it?
Exogenous testosterone. Boner.
Yes. Just like Pat likes.
Exogenous testosterone. Lucky guess.
So he's now facing a long suspension for the second year in a row. It'll be a full season, be postseason ineligible. It was funny because he was asked in the media before the season by a reporter, and she basically asked, like, did you take measures this offseason to make sure that that little mistake that happened last offseason doesn't happen again? He said, yeah, for sure. And now he's popped again. He's gone. The Braves are – I don't know what they're going to do with him for next year, but he's certainly not playing for them this year. And there was a whole conversation amongst Braves fans because they've got Acuna, they've got Harris, they've got Yaz, and they've had Profar. And it was like, okay, who's going to DH? So it got me thinking, oh, let me try to find a way to get them Massa, which would never happen because they're – let's be real. They're going to take that money and pay it to Lucas Giolito like they should and also potentially sign like Andrew McCutchen or Tommy Pham or something.
I was going to say McCutchen, dude. Get him on there. Love
that's
that
the
guy.
Thing. But let's play in fantasy land for a second.
Ooh, like, okay.
Massa's got 2 years left. Sean Murphy, who hit under 200 for the second year in a row, I believe. But he's a better, he's like a fine defensive catcher, so it, like there is value there. But he's got 3 years left, 15 mil each.
199. So close.
So close. So close to the Mendoza line. I was trying to think of ways, like when you guys are talking three team trades, the Profar thing made me start thinking about the Braves, even though I know they're just gonna end up paying the money to Giolito.
I mean, you can make things interesting if the Red Sox throw in some money and make Yoshida suddenly on a good contract. But
or
I don't
give
think they'll
them,
do that.
Or give or eat money and give them Patrick Sandoval. Because they need to. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the one we've been talking about for how long have we been talking about Sandoval could go to the Braves? We've been talking Sandoval to the Braves or the Braves sign Lucas Giolito for 9 years now.
Okay, so let's lay out the sequence. Massa, Sox eat $5 million each of the next 2 years. Him and Sandoval for the Braves for Sean Murphy. I did the math on this earlier today. The Sox would save $11.35 million, and the Braves, because they're saving the Profar money, would save $6.65 million. And then you do the Paredes for the Duran for Paredes King Nyans trade. Sox add $2.7 million. And
wait,
all
no.
in all.
Don't do the second part. Just it was good. It was good. I liked with just the first part.
Do it all. No. Sox save $4 million and they overhaul the roster in spring training.
Dude, I'm like so against trading Duran now. Like now that they've missed out on all these guys, I'm like, you can't trade the guy for Paredes. I don't know. Yeah,
no, leave the second part out.
I like the first part. I like the first part.
I like it.
It made no sense before the Profar thing, but now that the Braves save money, which I don't know if I agree with that. Like unless the Braves really didn't know what Profar was doing, but there's a good chance they did. Regardless, I would do that. I think Braves fans would be on board. I don't know if the Braves themselves would be on board with that, but that seems like a win-win for both sides. And by the way, Sean Murphy, I know he hit 199.
He's good.
But like, he was almost a league average bat, 98 OPS plus, 16 home runs. It's not
would
nothing.
Make a good catching tandem. Pat?
Who's the Braves DH now that Ozuna left? Would it be Yaz? Well, it's supposed to be Yaz, right?
It was, yeah, they had four outfielders for three spots and it was going to be one of them. That's why I thought like Yoshida could potentially be a fit. But every time like I thought of that trade, I was like, oh, like this is great. I've thought of something. And then immediately it's just like, okay, but like why, if you're the Braves, why would you not just pay Giolito and McCutchen 1 year deals?
Well, it's the money. They'd be saving money. I think you said it when you were explaining everything. Just because it's not the simplest path to get something done doesn't mean it's completely unrealistic.
They'd be saving. Well, actually, it depends on how much they signed Giolito for.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What if it were Littell instead of Giolito?
How much do you think those two guys are going to get? Like that's another.
I don't
that's
know.
Another,
15.
I thought
15.
Giolito was going to be signed.
Yeah, same. Okay, let's say 15. Let's say they each get 1 year, $15 million. If you sign Giolito for $15 million and then sign McCutchen for like two or three,
yeah,
you're adding like a little bit. You're adding a little bit because Profar was 15. And then the added extra because of the luxury tax.
Dude, hold on. Just on a side, I know we've spoken about this. How is Zach Littell not on a team? Did you see what he did last year?
Yes.
He started 32 games and pitched 186 innings. What the fuck? We're talking about him getting a one-year $15 million deal, and nobody disagrees. And I know his FIP was higher than his ERA. I know that. Like,
what was
I get that.
What was his FIP?
4.88.
Okay. Whoa. That was, what was the ERA? Isn't the threes, right?
3.81. But damn. Still, if that's still, your number five starter, that's a really good number five guy. That's like Sorry, Gordo. Like Bayo-ish. A little under Bayo. More innings.
That's,
The stats don't lie.
Lucas Giolito, 3.41 ERA in 145 innings in 26 starts. Like,
in a hitter's ballpark, too.
Yeah. Like, there are mid-rotation starter potential guys sitting there for one-year deals, and we always talk at the trade deadline about how much you're going to have to pay up for these rental starting pitchers. It's like, okay, here you go. Here's one. Here's two.
What if the Red Sox signed both and then used them as trade bait?
They should just it'd be so funny. It's like you sign Lucas Giolito and all of a sudden teams will trade for him, but no one wants to sign the guy. It's like, make it make sense.
He's going to go to I hope he doesn't go to the A's. I keep thinking that's going to happen and everyone's going to be happy for him. Like, he's on a good team, but that ballpark's tiny.
It's going to be the Braves. It will be the Braves.
That's what we all think.
It will be the Braves.
That's what we all think. I just have this creeping voice in the back of my head that's like, the A's are going to sign him. He's going to have a 5 ERA.
All right. Who wants to go next for Nuff Said? Sammy, you want to go? Pat, you want to go?
I'll go because mine is very on topic because you brought up steroids. Back in my day, steroids used to give guys insane muscles and so much home run power. Yeah, Drixaprofar suspended again. Cool. Johan Rojas got suspended for steroids today. Him and Max Kepler giving steroids a bad name. Max Kepler this year, 18 home runs, 52 RBI. He hit .216 with a .691 OPS. Johan Rojas, who's taking steroids, quote unquote, one home run, 18 RBI in 70 games, hit .224 with a .569 OPS. What kind of steroids are you guys taking?
Oh, Pat, I'll tell you right now, it's because they're not taking what real ball players take. Fucking anabolic steroids
like,
that make
what
your
are you
head
guys doing? If you're going to cheat, different. Do it right. Do it right. Take
anabolic steroids or go home.
Like, wait, I want
Johan Rojas. A year ago, should have walked into spring training looking like DK Metcalf.
I didn't even put it together that multiple Phillies guys got popped. I forgot about Kepler.
And what do you call it? Got popped last year, Alvarado.
Oh, you're right. Dang.
Dirt
get
balls.
On top of your shit.
I'm telling you, dude. Do what Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire did. That's real man steroids. Not like these little sneaky, like, oh, I'll get a little tiny advantage. No, dude, make your go up 4 shirt sizes and gain 58 pounds and went off.
Yeah.
Like start Justin Gonzalez did naturally.
Start pushing trucks.
Yeah. Get fucking furiously angry when the slightest thing goes wrong. That's what I want.
Agreed. Sammy, you got enough said?
Yes. So, as you guys know, the WBC starts tomorrow, today, if you're listening, Wednesday, 10 p.m., can't miss Australia versus Chinese Taipei.
Aussie.
That's right, mate. Aussie. Great point, Gordo. So for Team USA, Aaron Judge was, for some reason, declared the captain because he's really good. But I would argue that being the captain requires more than just being very good. And to celebrate him being the captain or to honor him or whatever, just kind of make it official, Aaron Judge gave a speech to Team USA. Gordo, before I say how I feel about it, can you play it, please?
Sacrifice for your family at home. You're sacrificing for your country. And you're sacrificing for the brothers in the trenches with you every single day. And that's one thing I want us to do, fellas. You know, we're down. We're beat up a little bit, man. You know, bleed into each other, man. We're going to lay it out on the line. If we do that, we're bringing the gold home, man. I'm telling you. Sacrifice.
I mean, that speech had the energy of like a LinkedIn post. That was just, I mean, was that the worst speech you've ever heard to get a team pumped? I mean, I feel like half the Team USA guys maybe like went home after that.
The thing is, you also had to look at his face when he was giving the speech, because like when he, I think it was when he said sacrifice for your brothers, he starts like smiling or smirking uncomfortably. Like he's like, oh God, I don't really know what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Right, guys. You know what I mean? Like when you don't really know what you're saying and you kind of smirk, hoping someone's going to smile back at you to tell you it's okay.
Yeah. And it's also some people are uncomfortable on camera. Okay, here. To test how bad this speech was, I just had ChatGPT write me a brief pump-up speech. You tell me which one's better, guys. I'm gonna give the speech as if I'm Aaron Judge. Gentlemen, this is our flag on our chest and our moment on this field. Every rep, every inning, every pitch has led to this. We don't play for the name on the back. We play for the one across the chest. Attack every fastball, hunt every out, trust the guy next to you, play loose, play fearless, play for each other. Now let's take the field and leave no doubt.
That was legitimately good. Go AI.
Well, I don't know about Go AI, but I made that in 5 seconds. And so Aaron Judge. And here's another great Yankee pump-up speech. You want to play this one?
That
one went. All that.
That one feels mean. That almost feels mean.
You know what? You know what? Both of those. Do you know what the Judge one specifically, though, reminds me of? I'm going to read a pump-up speech from a movie. I will be stunned if, Sammy, I think you will. Gordo, I think you'll be able to. So
wait, you think I will?
No, I'll be stunned. Oh. There's a group. There's a man presenting to the group. It's right ahead of a big day on the job. Listen, guys, I've got two jobs. I work here, and I have another at Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm doing it to put a kid through NYU so he can explore his bisexuality and become a DJ.
Is that Dane Cook?
Michael Keaton and the other guys. That's exactly, like, just like the stoic, like, nothingness of a pump-up speech.
Monotone, yeah. And no, yeah. Anyway, long way of me saying, I don't think Aaron Judge should be the captain of Team USA.
No.
I think it should be Bryce Harper. That's a leader, captain, get you fired up, USA kind of guy. Aaron Judge, amazing player, best hitter on the team. But do I want him as the captain? Like, hey, guys, let's go out there and America it. No. Give me Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper probably would have knocked out one of the cameramen in the locker room just to set the tone.
Who do you think is a better captain pick, Harper or Schwarber?
Harper, because Schwarber is like a good the muscle, like side character. Like he stands behind Harper.
Fair.
Like with his arms crossed.
I think Aaron Judge is as good of a captain as you can get for a full season. But for something like this, where it's a legitimate just like 7-game sprint, and it honestly is more about optics than anything in terms of just like perception. Like, they're not going to be – as the captain, he's not like resolving clubhouse disputes between like Bryce Harper and Paul Goldschmidt. Like, no. It's like, yeah, give it to Bryce. Like, there'd be no better captain in Major League Baseball for a full 162-game season, in my opinion, than Aaron Judge. And you probably have to give this to him because of who he is in this league. But for Team USA, for the vibes, for the optics, for the energy, I agree. Right? Give it to Bryce all day over Judge. Mm-hmm. Just for this, though.
It was a really good batch of Nuff Saids today.
God, I couldn't remember my Nuff Said going in, and I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Jerks and Profar got suspended for the second time in a year.
You know what he should do? He should try to tie, what is it, Henry Mejia?
Oh, yeah.
Three in a row, lifetime ban.
Hey, yeah. Didn't he come back?
With the Sox.
To the Red Sox.
Here we go. Pump up speech for Jerks and Profar. Jerickson, don't hang your head because you're down. You have a chance to make history. Now get back out there, stick that needle in your ass, and get suspended a third time.
Did you make that up, or did AI make that up?
No, I just made that up.
I was going to say, I didn't know AI could say ass.
Stick that needle in your tuchus, because it's perm.
Yeah. Listen here, clunker. You write me a pump-up
clanker,
speech.
Clanker, dude. Clanker.
Not clunker. Clunker was Corey Kluber on the Red Sox.
Hey-o.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 328 of Play Tessie. We'll be back for episode 329 to reflect on the ESOC parades for Jaren Duran trade that is definitely happening. We didn't just waste an hour talking about a trade that is not going to happen. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, For Joe producing, it is Gordo here for Play Tessie, episode 328. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
I'm done carrying around bulky drinks. And I'm definitely done cleaning melted candy out of my pockets. So yeah, I traded them both in for Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. These little guys are as pocket-sized as any candy. But instead of a sugar crash, you get a zero sugar caffeine boost. Candy can't even compare at this point. Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots treat your taste buds to an explosion of fruity flavor with a tasty caffeine kick. That's right, caffeine just got a flavor upgrade. And it's not just one flavor. 5-Hour Energy Shots bring you tasty caffeine in 17 flavors. 17! So if you're craving that candy-flavored chaos, but actually want energy that works, grab Fruity Rainbow 5-Hour Energy Shots. Pocket-sized, zero sugar, big flavor. Available now at 5hourenergy.com or on Amazon.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you are craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got a drink for you. As a true rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
SpringFest means more sun, more fun, and more free at Lowe's. Keep your yard in line with an additional free EGO 56-volt battery when you buy a select EGO mower, trimmer, or blower. Plus, keep landscaping fresh with Stay-Green 1-cubic-foot garden soil, 5 bags for $10. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 4A. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Breaking news from Good Ranchers. Over 85% of grass-fed beef in stores is imported. Most grocery store meat contains antibiotics, hormones, and harmful seed oils. Good Ranchers does things differently. All their meat is born and raised on local American farms. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no seed oils. Just one ingredient, meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and get $25 off your first order with code RANCH25. That's code RANCH25 for $25 off your first order. GoodRanchers.com. American meat delivered.